held him up as the Mithridates of the Republic. The brothers de Wet, therefore, had to strive against a double difficulty, against the force of national antipathy, and, besides, against the feeling of weariness, which is natural to all vanquished people, when they hope that a new chief will be able to save them from ruin and shame. This new chief, quite ready to appear on the political stage, and to measure himself against Louis XIV, however gigantic the fortunes of the grand monarch loomed in the future, was William, Prince of Orange, son of William II, and grandson by his mother Henrietta Stuart, of Charles I of England. We have mentioned him before as the person by whom the people expected to see the office of Stadtholder restored. This young man was, in 1672, 22 years of age. John de Wet, who was his tutor, had brought him up with the view of making him a good citizen. Loving his country better than he did his disciple, the master had, by the perpetual edict, extinguished the hope which the young prince might have entertained of one day becoming stadtholder. But God laughs at the presumption of man, who wants to raise and prostrate the powers on earth without consulting the king above, and the fickleness and caprice of the Dutch combined, with the terror inspired by Louis XIV, in repealing the perpetual edict and re-establishing the office of stadtholder in favour of William of Orange, for whom the hand of Providence had traced out ulterior destinies on the hidden map of the future. The grand pensionary bowed before the will of his fellow citizens. Cornelius de Wet, however, was more obstinate, and notwithstanding all the threats of death from the Orangist rabble, who besieged him in his house at Dort, he stoutly refused to sign the act by which the office of stadtholder was restored. Moved by the tears and entreaties of his wife, he at last complied, only adding to his signature the two letters V.C., V. Coactus, notifying thereby that he only yielded to force. It was a real miracle that on that day he escaped from the doom intended for him. John de Wet derived no advantage from his ready compliance with the wishes of his fellow citizens. Only a few days after, an attempt was made to stab him, in which he was severely, although not mortally, wounded. This by no means suited the views of the Orange faction. The life of the two brothers being a constant obstacle to their plans, they changed their tactics, and tried to obtain by calumny what they had not been able to effect by the aid of the poniard. How rarely does it happen that in the right moment a great man is found to head the execution of vast and noble designs, and for that reason, when such a providential concurrence of circumstances does occur, history is prompt to record the name of the chosen one, and to hold him up to the admiration of posterity. But when Satan interposes in human affairs to cast a shadow upon some happy existence, or to overthrow a kingdom, it seldom happens that he does not find at his side some miserable tool, in whose ear he has but to whisper a word to set him at once about his task. The wretched tool who was at hand to be the agent of this dastardly plot was one Tichelaer, whom we have already mentioned, a surgeon by profession. He lodged an information against Cornelius de Wet, setting forth that the warden, who, as he had shown by the letters added to his signature, was fuming at the repeal of the perpetual edict, had, from hatred against William of Orange, hired an assassin to deliver the new republic of its new stadtholder, and he, Tichelaer, was the person thus chosen, but that, horrified at the bare idea of the act which he was asked to perpetrate, he had preferred rather to reveal the crime than to commit it. This disclosure was, indeed, well calculated to call forth a furious outbreak among the Orange faction. The Attorney-General caused, on the 16th of August, 1672, Cornelius de Wet to be arrested, and the noble brother of John de Wet had, like the vilest criminal, to undergo, in one of the apartments of the town prison, the preparatory degrees of torture, by means of which his judges expected to force from him the confession of his alleged plot against William of Orange. But Cornelius